All right, guys, here we go. Thursday. We're so close. So close to the end of the week. Thanks for coming in. Wherever you're chiming in, tuning in, whatever you're doing, hit that like button, that thumbs up button, that plus button if you're over on Rumble. Hey, Whiskey over on Rumble, by the way. Glad to be with you guys. Glad to be with you. Several stories that we got to cover today. Keep coming in. Hit that share button as well. So your friends, colleagues, all those people that need to see, hear, listen to the show, and engage with you can find us. Albert, good to see you. Thanks for being here. So Joe finally made his first trip overseas. Going, of course, to England, ahead of the G7 summit. And this was him. I'll just show, I mean, just for some color, we'll show, this was him and Jill arriving, gingerly making their way down the stairs. No wave, just kind of a don't fall. Whatever you do, Joe, don't fall moment. Here was the arrival. So there's the arrival. And to Richard over on Facebook, Trump tried to nuke a hurricane, so who's dumber? Look, we talk about this all the time on the show. You're welcome here. Hope you're having a good day, by the way. But stop comparing this to that. It's not a this guy versus that guy. It's about the country. And you're referring to the title, of course. But don't live there. Expand your mind a little bit. Go beyond it. This isn't a show about Trump. This isn't a show about Biden. They both come up in conversations a lot. But I would encourage you to think bigger than that. But the clip that we have to show, and what is referenced in the title, and the reason that people are already commenting on that is because of the title. And it's this one. As is customary on a lot of these trips, you know, whether it's to the Middle East, they'll you know, whoever's in the White House will stop into Bagram and Afghanistan, they'll stop into Iraq, whatever. If they're in Europe, they'll try and stop and see troops. And it's just a customary thing. He stopped and saw troops in the region. This is what he said was the issue, though, and this is where the problem comes into play. This is where things are taken out of context. Isn't even the right phrase for what we're talking about. He spoke to airmen and said this:
coordinated multilateral action. We must all commit to an ambitious climate action if we're going to prevent the worst impacts of climate change, limiting global warming to no more than 1.5 degrees Celsius, lead the global transition to clean energy technology. You know, when I went over in the tank in the Pentagon, when I first was elected vice president with President Obama, the military sat us down to let us know what the greatest threats facing America were, the greatest physical threats. This is not a joke. You know what the Joint Chiefs told us the greatest threat facing America was? Global warming, because there'll be significant population movements, fights over land, millions of people leaving places because they're literally sinking below the sea in Indonesia because of the fights over what is air.
No, Joe. No! Global warming is not the biggest threat. I don't care who told you. I don't care what you believe. I know that you do believe that. I certainly know that Barack Obama believes that. But it's just absolutely not. It's just that's the most ridiculous claim ever, particularly when you're talking to that audience. If you're a climate change person, a global warming, they change the narrative as people poke holes in it, then they try and come back out with a new label for it. But if you're really into that and that's your thing and that's what you do for a living, fine, I get it. You're going to be passionate about it, and I certainly encourage people to be passionate about whatever they do. But we're talking to the U.S. military, telling them that's what they need to be worried about. No, it's not. It's just like all this other woke crap that they're instilling and pushing throughout the ranks that we've talked about ad nauseum. No, leave that out. That is not their job. That is not the biggest threat. That is not what we're dealing with. Will people fight over land and resources, all that stuff, if, and again, it's a big if, sea levels rise to the point that some of these individuals are suggesting? Sure, of course. Fill in any situation where things aren't going well, people will fight over that. But you know what? Here's what's remarkable about this, and remarkable about his comment there, is people are fighting over land and resources now. They have been forever, since the beginning of time. You don't need a little bit of a rise in seawater to push that over the line. No, that's what's happening right now. Our threats are very, very clear. Some of them, sure, as you get further down the list, get a little bit more muddy. But your buddies over in China, who are having their way with you, by the way, as are so many others, huge threat. Huge threat. Russia, Iran, North Korea, remnants of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the different factions that are splintering off literally by the second from those groups. You've got the big groups who try and remain relevant, grow, regroup, reform. But then you've got leaders who split off, get funding from different places, and start off these new groups. Happens all the time. It's the world I lived in. There are real threats out there. Cartels south of the border. The list goes on and on and on. Obviously, those are just some highlights. But those are real threats. Global warming is not one of them. That is not anywhere near the list that the U.S. military should be concerned about. But that was only one of the few, least prominent, misguided things we heard about the military this week, or in the military realm. As Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin continues to talk about equality, which equality, of course, on its face, equality is not a bad thing. Equality, climate change, routing out white supremacists, domestic terrorists within the military, things that really don't exist, things that are not a problem. They've just said that they are, to help with their political narrative. It's not an issue. But as that's happening, you have this battalion commander out in at Fort Carson in Colorado who allegedly told his soldiers that white people are part of the problem. Literally, in uniform, telling his command, "You white people are part of the problem." No, they're not. No, stop dividing. Stop dividing. Stop making things about race. The only people who make things about race are the people who are actually racist. The rest of us are just going about the world in a normal, common sense, fair, reasonable manner. Yes, there's some outliers who do it wrong and they're awful people. That's not what we're talking about. Stop dividing. And there's going to be people, sadly, there are people who buy into this narrative. And that's why it's so reckless when the media says this stuff. That's why it's so reckless when the Secretary of Defense says it, when the President of the United States says it, when a battalion commander says it. And they push this, "America's racist and awful," statement and belief. It's not true. It's not true at all. But it'll work, and it continues to work, which is why we are where we are, because people are stupid and or people are gullible. And they listen to this, and they take it like, "Oh, we are? I didn't know that." You know, you add on the critical race theory crap that's going on in the schools on top of that. You add on all these other things, and you add on the fact that they've got the media and they've got big tech on their side. And there's a lot of people who are just buying in that, but there's no room for this. And particularly, look, the conversation is not going to go anywhere, at least for a while. We can't just fix it with the snap of a finger. But within the military, the intel community, the law enforcement community, all those places, there's no room for it. No room for it whatsoever. And it makes me absolutely beyond livid that this kind of stuff is going on, that people are saying these things that, again, are not true, but have the reasoning behind them. The reason that this is being brought up is solely for the reason to divide the country, to get people pissed. So yeah, I'm falling into that trap, but I'm not just going to go along with it. I'm pushing back and saying, oh, hell no. That's not true at all. So you need to get out of the way. All right, so we're going to touch on Fauci here. Touch on Fauci. We're going to touch on this FBI douche, former FBI douche, who is on MSNBC trying to help push their narrative. But we'll tell you a little bit more about him. Then we're going to talk about Google, big tech, firing people for pushing back against woke employee training. Seems fair to me. Seems fair to me. There's no spoon. Good to hear from you. I live about 3 miles from Fort Carson here in Colorado Springs. They were right. I'm the biggest threat, not because I'm white, because I'm an American patriot, baby. Good for you. Stand your ground. Don't be apologetic for something you don't need to be apologetic for. That's what blows my mind about this whole thing right now in this country. You say one thing that upsets the other side, and everything upsets them. Unless you agree precisely with them, they label you every name in the book. They make up names. And if you care, then it's going to affect you. If you play into their game, it's going to affect you. If you don't, you just say, you know what? I'm actually not racist at all. I'm actually not a xenophobe or a this or that phobe or this kind of it, whatever goes in front and precedes that. Then who cares? Say whatever you want. I don't care. You don't define me. You don't define me at all. All right, so we're going to get to those stories real quick before we dive into Fauci, though. Let's hear from Mammoth Nation. Mammoth Nation is America's conservative discount club. They are on a mission to keep this country great. Stick to the Constitution, your Second Amendment. They support our law enforcement, our military. It's better than a donation to a PAC or a candidate. They take the guesswork out for you. And in return, you get discounts on all sorts of amazing products and services, stuff that you're already paying for now, whether it's wireless, internet, insurance, medications, all sorts of other products that you need and want. So check it out. It's mammothnation.com. If you become a lifetime member like me, they'll send you American flag, some other goodies just for signing up. Again, it's mammothnation.com. Join the fight. All right. And reminder, folks, we do have chat going on live over at Rumble 2. We're getting a little bit more people there day after day, week after week, but there are different options. There's going to be some more coming up for you as well that we'll push, as I keep promising. It is coming. But getting on with Fauci, our favorite doctor, who we're all more qualified than when it comes to dealing with this pandemic. We're all more credible, at least at this point. That's for damn sure. But he discussed earlier this week how there's new variants. He kind of threatened it. We talked about it in the show. There's new variants coming out. Everyone needs to pay attention. Be vigilant. You know, keep paying attention to me, i.e. keep paying attention to me. I'm relevant. I want to be in the limelight. I want to have control. So he kept pushing that, brought that back up. We talked about it. And now he's out there on top of that, attacking those people like us, me, I presume too, who go after him all the time, attack him, question him, whatever you want to call it, saying that they're not attacking me. They're attacking science. This was him. Take a listen.
Now you're at the focal point. What is your level of concern that we're going to discredit public health officials to the point of, you know, look at Russia. They actually have a good vaccine, and none of their citizens will take it because they don't trust their own government.
Right. It's very dangerous, Chuck, because a lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes those things were inconvenient truths for people, and there was pushback against me. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. And anybody that looks at what's going on clearly sees that. You have to be asleep not to see that. That is what's going on. Science and the truth are being attacked.
I love how he kind of refers to himself in third person there. Like only a douchebag would. But you have to be asleep? Are you kidding me? This is a guy, by the way, who is writing a book, who's been writing a book as everyone else has been struggling, and he's been living it up, making the most money in D.C., telling you what to do, what you can't do, of course not following it himself. He's writing a book on truth. It's the definition of irony. It really is. But it's not people attacking science. People have... Here's where you guys went wrong. You would put out data. And I'm not talking about the scary numbers that CNN has on their sidebar, or MSNBC has on their sidebar, or Fox News even has on their sidebar, where you just highlight big numbers, number of cases, number of deaths, which everyone knew was not accurate the whole time. And now that's being proven little by little in states as they reduce all their numbers. But you guys pushed and peddled this fear, and then concurrently would release data from the CDC and other government organizations that would counter what you were saying. And then you would, on top of that, flip-flop back and forth in your policies, particularly Fauci. And it just ruins your credibility. But people have been paying attention to science. It's literally, Democrats are experts, as we always discuss, at projecting. Oh, they're not following the science. They're science deniers. No. We are doing precisely that. We are looking at the data. We are looking at the numbers and saying, life is a gamble. Life is a risk every day. It's a different game. But we feel pretty good about this. Based on the mortality rates, the survivability rates, all of that stuff, we feel pretty good about it. So we're going to choose to just live our lives, not listen to you, who does not have the authority, by the way, to dictate what we do. So bottom line, no one likes you. People have paid attention to the science. No one trusts you. You haven't. You've tried to manipulate it to keep control. You've blown your credibility. I joke all the time. I know that I'm not a virologist or any of these types of doctors. I'm not. I hunted bad guys. That's what I'm good at. But I joke that I'm probably smarter on you, that my kids, my dog is probably smarter on this virus than you, because you have shot your credibility. No one trusts you. I'm sure your own family probably doesn't trust you when it comes to this anymore, because you literally change your opinion multiple times within a day sometimes. And then every time that you come out on the press and in the mainstream media, which you frequently do, again, because you love it and you love yourself, you try to reclaim your credibility. And in doing so, you end up flip-flopping more and hurting the whole thing and making the situation even worse. You're your own worst enemy. And it's kind of, I mean, frankly, now that we're at the point where things are open up, and again, I live in free America. I live in Florida. So everything's absolutely 100% normal here. And it's been that way. But now that things are opening up, it literally just makes it that much worse for you. Love the comments, guys. Keep them coming in. Keep hitting that like button if you have not already. It goes a long way in helping us out. But people aren't just against Fauci now. They are. As much as he doesn't like it, as much as he keeps digging himself a deeper hole, people are against him. But this was an awesome clip. Maybe you've seen this. I mean, we're talking, what, 18 years ago. 18 years ago, a caller on C-SPAN. Keep in mind, the country is going through, the world is going through SARS at the time. So enter Fauci, of course, right? Let's see what old Doc Fauci has to say. This person who called in didn't like him one bit, and I love every bit of it.
Singapore and Hong Kong.
We hear from a physician in Durham, North Carolina. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Fauci.
Good morning.
And, Pedro. You've been at the NIH a pretty long time, and it seems to me that during your tenure, our ability to control infectious diseases hasn't improved, but in fact worsened. And even basic health tips such as you can't use antibiotics to treat viral infections has not been adequately communicated to the public, because, for instance, people will come in demanding an antibiotic for a common cold, which, or any other viral infection, which has certainly served to create more resistant strains. Not saying that this has anything to do with this particular SARS epidemic, but don't you think it's time that you step down and let someone else who has a more effective message
Actually, no. She wants to know if I want to step down because we're getting too many resistance.
I love the nervous laugh. Actually, no, I don't. I'm as pissed. Someone doesn't like me? Yeah, no one likes you, bro. Again, no one. And I wish that wasn't the case. I always prefer to like someone. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I gave you the benefit of the doubt, Doc Fauci. When you first came onto the scene, like, okay. You played it somewhat cool, level-headed, and then you just blew it day after day after day after day. And that was a doctor calling him out there. I'm not a doctor, as I always say, and I've said already today. But we just know. The gig is up. We know how this system works now. And that's not conspiracy. That's not this. I hate conspiracy stuff. It's just obvious that you are a colossal douche who cares more about himself and his party's narrative than anything else. All right. He's a pit viper. I love it. I love the description. There's no segue from Pit Viper into UFM Underwear for Men, but please do check out UFM Underwear for Men, and then we'll get to this next story. Man, we have a lot of serious problems in the world. Some are outside of our control, and some are within. One that you most certainly can control is what's happening south of your border. I am talking about your junk, and UFM Underwear for Men has the solution. Most men's underwear these days do not provide actual support, but rest easy, UFMs do. Their patented pouch system eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions and move with your body so you can go from one activity to the next without a second thought. They're great for sports, work, everyday use. There's even certain medical applications as well, all because of their unique drawstring adjustable support pouch that allows you to increase the support to your preference and provides actual support. So support your manhood. Treat yourself right. You deserve it. Go to UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to save $6. Ladies, you can do the same thing. Head on over there at UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to save $6. All right. Please go do that. I love 55 Debacle's comment, too. Gene Wilder could portray Fauci in a movie about his life. I miss Gene Wilder. What's your favorite Gene Wilder movie? Throw that into the comments. The Blazing Saddles? Is it? I'm not going to say anymore. You let us know. You tell us. All right, then this is really something here. Speaking of narratives, like we were talking about there as it pertains to COVID, different topic. Former FBI counterintelligence lead, Frank Figliozzi, I don't know how you say his name, no one cares, no one likes him. But old Frankie boy called for sitting Congress members, men and women, to be arrested when they were talking about the insurrection and all this other stuff. Here, take a listen, then we'll talk about it.
Look, Chris Wray testified publicly on the Hill that what happened on January 6th is domestic terrorism. What have we learned from our experience with international terrorism? In order to address that problem, arresting low-level operatives is merely a speed bump, not a roadblock. In order to really tackle terrorism, and this time domestically, you've got to attack and dismantle the command and control element of a terrorist group. And unfortunately, and I know this is painful to hear, that may mean people sitting in Congress right now, people in and around the former president. Mm-hmm. That's how you do this. Otherwise, recruitment, inciting, and cult-like leadership continues to recruit people to violence.
All right. So take that in for a second. Take that in for a second. He's talking about, he's trying to sound all official. We got to go after their command and control element. Okay, sure. Yeah, if we're talking about Al-Qaeda, if we're talking about ISIS, if we're talking about stuff like this, that I don't know this guy from Adam, but he was a CI guy, not a CT guy, so he likely didn't go after them. That's a different game. People confuse the two. Counterintel is focused on other intel organizations trying to penetrate you. Not like Kamala, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but maybe he did. Maybe he did that before. Who knows? Bottom line is he's talking about our government. And look, I don't agree with everything that Marjorie Taylor Greene and Boebert and some of the other ones that are a little bit more loud and aggressive say. There's plenty of things that I do, too. But you know he's referencing them, right? He's referencing them, and I love their passion. But they get things wrong, too. And one of the things that we do in politics and political commentary whether it's someone's job like mine, whether it's people who are just passionate about it and spend a lot of time doing it, is people get so wrapped around the axle with individuals. It's happened a lot with Trump. Look, again, as much as I love Trump, some people have gone and just hitched their wagon solely to him. You can't do that. He's a man. He's a good man. He did a good job when he was in. Maybe he will be in again. That would be great. But it can't just be about him. It can't just be about Marjorie. It can't just be about, you know, Josh Hawley or Tom Cotton or this person or that person. It has to be about the collective movement and the collective set of ideals that take us that way. And I think people get offended. So I'm sure people will get offended today. How dare you say anything negative about Marjorie or Boebert or this person or that person? Well, that's fine. You can feel that way. I don't think you should. Again, I think they get a lot of things wrong. Doesn't mean I want them out of Congress. It doesn't mean that they should be at risk of losing their jobs or their seat from the other side because they do things differently. And 100%, they shouldn't be arrested for supporting what was not, again, capital N-O-T, not an insurrection. And was not very clearly pushed by President Trump. Again, I don't know how many times I got to say this. The FBI, Capitol Police, some local law enforcement agencies, New York, D.C., et cetera, came together and said that after the fact. Even CNN reported it. They've reverted back because it's better to talk about Trump in a negative way, to talk about conservatives in a negative way. So if and when he decides he's going to run again, they can keep spinning that narrative. But those law enforcement organizations and even CNN said, yeah, you know what, it wasn't planned or incited, or it was planned rather, not incited. This was going to happen regardless of anything the president did or did not say, and regardless of anything that this congressman or congresswoman did or did not say. Keep in mind, too, that the reason this conversation is even happening on there is what I was just referring to. It's the, we want to keep talking about Trump and what if he runs. But they're bringing him on, they're bringing this guy Frank on, thinking his title and experience will help bring credence to their narrative that they want to push. Oh, he's an FBI guy. Ooh, he's a leadership guy from the FBI. Oh, and he's going to use some fancy operational words that not everyone will understand, but it's going to sound like, if we continue to push it this way, it's going to sound like what we keep pushing and peddling is 100% right, and he's agreeing with us, and he's an expert, so how could anyone argue with that? And that's kind of the tack they're taking there. But keep in mind, this is the same guy, the same former FBI agent, who compared President Trump to a radical Islamic cleric and said his supporters were, you know, akin to people following a radical jihadist who would show beheading videos to get them excited. He said that, in, again, 2019, comparing the president at the time of the United States to a radical jihadist. This is not a guy. This guy is unhinged. He's lost his damn mind. It's reckless, it's absurd, and he should not have a voice or a platform at all. He just shouldn't. All right, I'm going to go back to a comment here real quick because I asked about, we're moving on from that. Break, moving on from FBI real quick. Pocket Nova Paints. Coming back to you, who had some good responses. T. Shouten agreed with this, Blazing Saddles. Threw out some great movies, Pocket Nova Paints, Wonka Forever, Hear No Evil, See No Evil. Great films. Gene Wilder was awesome. But then came back and said, Blazing Saddles, legendary movie that would ruffle so many feathers if it was released today. Do you think it could even get released today? And I'm frankly shocked that they haven't tried to cancel. I mean, they've gone after John Wayne movies. They've gone after John Wayne's name at airports because of, you know, interviews and this, that, and the other. Like, I'm frankly shocked. It was such a hilarious movie. I mean, it's clearly comedy. Obviously, the people in the film didn't feel the way that the characters did, and that was a different time, too, not justifying it. But anyways, you're absolutely right. I mean, that movie would never get made today. Never get made. All right, looking at the comments, keep them coming. Again, hit that like button, share away if you can. I know some of you have said you can't share. That's because Facebook, YouTube, everyone else hates us. They do not want people consuming this content, even though I think we're pretty damn reasonable. We're going to get to one more story here and then your comments, but before we do, please give some love to Red Beach Nation. You can get this Freedom Isn't Free shirt there and many others. Take a peek. Whether you live at the beach, are going to one, or just want to imagine yourself there, Red Beach Nation has the perfect patriotic apparel for the occasion. You can go there and check out over 40 products. Use promo code Drew to save 10%. Again, it's redbeachnation.com. Use promo code Drew to save 10%. All right, so just responding to a comment here over on Rumble. Let's get to this last story, okay? And I'm going to let Tucker kind of walk us through it, and then we're going to talk about it kind of on a holistic, bigger level and where I think we are kind of as a country when it comes to hiring this, that, and the other. We know where big tech is. We know where they are politically, all of that stuff, okay? Facebook doesn't like us. They don't like America. They don't like freedom. They say they do, and then they it's clear with their actions. Same thing with Twitter. Same thing with Google. All of that. And now there's, you know, we've seen this story before, and Tucker's going to, I'm going to use him to kind of, again, walk us through this, just because why reinvent the wheel? He did a great job with it in this interview. But a Google employee alleges that he was fired for questioning the tech giant's woke employee training that everyone's starting to do these days. Some of us experienced it in the intel community, the military, law enforcement, what have you. You start seeing these courses that become mandatory. You've got to go through this once a year. Sit here and learn about things that you are that you really aren't, or things that you could be become that you should be aware that you could be become without realizing it and hurting someone else's feelings. I hate it. I hate all that stuff. It drives me crazy. But this latest one, it's just another case of it. And again, then we're going to talk about it kind of on a holistic level. But take a listen to the clip first, and then we will go from there.
Now, you might recall from a few years ago, a Google engineer called James Damore. Damore was fired for suggesting that there might be biological differences between men and women. He is a science man, after all. Now, at the time, the CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai, issued a lengthy statement saying that Google encourages discussions of its policies, but they canned him anyway. Now, Google has fired another engineer after he questioned the storyline. His name is Taras Kopernik. He was based in Zurich, Switzerland. Google fired him after he wrote a memo criticizing Google's so-called equity programs, which, as they all do, amount effectively to racism. In his memo, Kopernik pointed out that Google employees were circulating something called the Anti-Racist Allyship Starter Pack that included articles claiming that, quote, white people have no culture. That's not hostile or anything. Another article defended looting. Now, Google says that Kopernik was fired for disrupting the workplace, not for his views or that memo. That man, Taras Kopernik, joins us tonight. Taras, thanks so much for coming on tonight. What did you say in your memo? Will
Hello,
you summarize
Mr.
it for us? Thank you.
Sure. In my memo, I just tried to list different things that I encountered during my time at Google. Things that I didn't think were right, that were disruptive and long-term just damaging for even for racial things, for racial relations. So Google
yes.
was basically undermining things as it was supposed to improve. And I wrote it because we were having conversations about this topic with other employees, and also my manager he was aware of me having some concerns, and he was asking me for about these concerns. So I did what people usually do in such cases at Google. You want to discuss something with someone, you write a document, you share it, and then you discuss what is in there. After I done it, my manager told me to remove the document. I was told that the document was inappropriate, offensive, containing cherry-picking examples, and so on. I ultimately refused to delete the document, and that's when Google fired me.
It was inappropriate and offensive because you disagreed with the equity training. What was specifically was inappropriate or offensive about it, did they say?
Verbally, I was told that certain sections of the document were questioning living experiences of people of color or criticizing fellow employees, or even that I was using the word genetics in the racial context, and that was already, how it was called, offensive to a reasonable person.
Were you surprised that they fired you for doing what they asked you to do, which is to put in writing your concerns?
I wasn't surprised because I was considering different possibilities. After all, it's my job as an engineer. But I was somewhat surprised that it went so far, because if the company just wanted to bury this thing, it could have pretended actually acting on it and then just dropping it somewhere without saying anything.
I hope you get another job that pays better and allows you the freedom to think for yourself. And I admire your bravery and your willingness to come on and tell us what happened to you at Google, which is a monopoly and should be broken up, I should add. Tars, thank you very much for coming on.
So 100% it should be broken up. And look, this is ridiculous. Training that no doubt you've been through is ridiculous wherever you work. I mean, it has penetrated, you know, not just academia where it did a long time ago, but it's penetrated corporations all over. Not all of them are what you would necessarily put into the category of woke, but their HR has to check enough boxes to the point where they feel, you know, some of it's on principle, some of it's on we've got to do this just to cover our ass. But it's ridiculous. And training that assumes, which is basically what a lot of this does, like, again, is anyone arguing for equality and fairness and kindness, this, that, and the other? No. Like, most people are those things and or strive to be those things. But all of this training that assumes that everyone is awful is a waste of time and only divides your workforce, lowers the morale, does all of those things further. I don't see how they don't get that. Man, I'd have fun. They'd send people over from the home office to give us some annual HR training in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever. And these people, of course, are scared out of their mind because they're not used to going to the field. They're used to being in the comforts of their own home and headquarters back home in D.C. And we would just screw with them because it was ridiculous. Like, you're coming out here. By the way, we're fighting a war. And you're coming out here to check a box to take us through sexual harassment course, an equality course, this course, whatever. Stop. How about you let us focus on our job? If someone becomes a problem, sit them down for some counseling. But telling us, oh, you guys are all just a bunch of cowboys. Well, yeah, we are, but that's why we are hired. America needs us to do this. And then firing someone for having a different take, like this guy was, and others no doubt have been all over the country, for pushing back. It's awful. So awful. It's lame. Stupid. God, it's the worst. But it's also, in some respects, they're right, right? If you look at Google, and who, as Tucker said, should be broken up, but since they're not, and since they're a private company, there's a lot of things they can get away with. So here's my thought on that. Don't work at places like that. I know years ago, decades ago, not decades necessarily for some of the big tech because they weren't necessarily around or as prominent, but people had their ideals and goals for, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I'll do anything to be there. But that should be changing in your mind and in your heart because everything else is changing. And it's not something to celebrate or be happy with or proud of. But the ground beneath you is kind of crumbling, no matter where you are, what your beliefs are, because the world is just changing that fast. So don't work at places like that. Places that are dividing their people, getting super political, going full woke. You never go full woke. Don't do it. Pick a place that aligns with you. Not perfectly, or pick a place that's just politically neutral, which would be so smart if all of these businesses did it. You know what? We're staying out of this shit. We're just not going to even touch it. We just need you to perform so the company makes money so we can continue to pay you. We can continue to grow. Yada, yada, yada. But if you're an employee, push a place, or look for a place, rather, that aligns with you. And if you're a company, I know there's HR rules, this, that, the, figure out how to manipulate them and get around them and hire people that you want and that fit your culture. That's what you should be doing. And I know most people do that, but these days there's a lot that don't. oh, we can't hire that. And we've got, you know what? We need to hire an Indian. We need to hire a black female. We need to hire someone who is from this state. Someone who played the piano once, doesn't like it anymore, could do it again, but probably won't. Like, they just make up these random ass boxes. I've got to check them. Don't go there. Don't play into that if you're an employer. Choose not to bring in weak people. If they've got green hair and lots of pictures of cats on their Facebook page, boom, they're out. No. Or if you're a woke, same thing goes for the other side. If you're a woke company who cares all about that, cares all about image and trying to pander to groups, only hire people like dudes who wear eyeliner and skinny jeans. Or what, I mean, whatever. But I like it. There's an example here. Good for you, Cheryl. You're looking for a job, the right-leaning company that doesn't require mass vaccination. I wish you well in finding that. But put yourself in situations that make sense and will help you. Not lower your morale, not make things more stressful and awful. And again, companies should do the same thing. We shouldn't be in this spot. But since we are here, we are kind of getting to the point where there are separate economies. These companies hate freedom. These companies love and respect the flag and the anthem. And obviously I'm talking in generalities there, but you know what I'm saying. But do what this dude's doing. So R.R. Reno, there's an article about this, who's the editor of First Things, which is a, as it's described in this article, a religious public policy magazine. I've not read it. I don't know what it is. But I read about this, and I thought it was great. And he said that he's stopped hiring graduates from Ivy League schools because they're either too woke, too self-important, or have been trained to stay silent when it matters. Quote, a decade ago, I relished the opportunity to employ talented graduates of Princeton, Yale, Harvard, and the rest. Today, not so much. Because they don't fit his culture, his profile. They have been, you know, fed this propaganda on those college campuses, which most college campuses receive the same thing. Ivy League, certainly next level. But Ivy League, you get the same kind of propaganda coming with attitude, wealth, money, all that kind of stuff. And it's just a problem. The agency does that too, man. They hire people from there. It's like, why would you ever hire them? They literally, most of them are wired to not be about anything but themselves. And then you want to hire them and put them in a job that is about everything but themselves. But I love this. He's taken that tack, just not going to do it anymore. You've seen companies saying, I'm not going to hire snowflakes. You've seen companies, I'm not going to hire this or hire that. It's the way to do it. It's where we are. All right, let's get to some questions. Get to a couple comments, and then we'll roll out for the day. Reminder, tomorrow is Booze and Banter. It's Friday. If you're new here, we wrap up the week with a drink, cocktail. If you want to just have a coffee, a tea, water, whatever, that's fine too. But we bring a drink, we show up, you guys fire the questions, you kind of dictate how the conversation goes. I don't really bring much prepared. Fridays are nice for me. I just kind of show up, sit down, people turn things on, and we go. So get your questions for then, but also send some in for now. We can hit a couple here. 55 said earlier, Biden is a white supremacist. I mean, again, Democrats project what they are. If they're calling people, it's like the person. We've worked with a couple people like this before. I'm sure you have too. Oh, I'm not a drama queen. I'm not a princess. I'm not this, that, or the other. I'm not a whatever. Fill in the blank. I'm not just picking on women there. But I'm not that. If someone says that, they usually are. The Democrats are that way too. Oh, Republicans are fascists. Okay, so that means you are, and they are. Republicans are racist, so that means you are, and your policies and your history prove you are. Not all of them, but it's a consistent trend and theme there. But he totally is. And I don't think he's like a radical, like some people make him out to be. He's done some awful things. He's said some awful things. He clearly has some awful things in his heart that slip out. Again, whatever's inside, you shake it up, it's going to come out. You can't stop that. Mark Anthony, thank God I can listen to a show for Americans. Amen, brother. That's what this is. For anyone coming in who trolls, if you're here and you think that this is about Donald J. Trump, or you think that this is about just bashing Biden, or you think that this is about any other candidate or any other party, no, it's not. We're so far off course because people have gotten so latched to individuals and to parties. And it will lead us to absolute catastrophic failure. It needs to be about America. Rekindle that spirit, as awful as it was, particularly for thousands of families, of where we were after 9/11. It's the last time that we've ever been unified in anything. Before that, it used to be more the norm. Let's rally around the flag for once. Again, it's not going to happen, but that's where we need to be. Complacency puts us here too, as well. And amen, Scott. America first. Has to be America first. For both sides of the aisle, for everyone in between, and for everyone around the globe. America first sets everyone up for success. And that's not some nationalist, awful thing to say at all. It's literally, how can we help you more? Let us get our shit together first, and then we will start helping people. It's a UK thing too now, Drew. Love it. All right, Sharon said, why didn't former Vice President Biden mention D-Day? We talked about it earlier in the week. I think you were here too, but look, the simple answer is either he doesn't care, or he's in his demented state, forgot. And either answer is awful and embarrassing and not okay. His inaction there was so, I think, distressing. It's a really bad thing. Everyone who cares about this country knows what June 6th is. Like they do December 7th. Like they do some key dates. There's not that many you have to remember if you care. And to say nothing, and then to have your press secretary defend him saying nothing, so it was in his heart. Shut up. I'm surprised, and I'm not wishing for it. I'm surprised his damn heart's even going. I mean, the guy is just not in a good spot. So again, whether it's he forgot or his unhealthy, unfit state, cognitive failure played in there. Either way, it's not good. It doesn't look good for the country. It's embarrassing. You compound that when you have the clip we played earlier in the week of Kamala responding to Lester Holt with an absolutely I don't know how to describe that cackle other than it makes you want to throw up. Okay, I'll take maybe one or two more here, and then we'll head out for today and get ready for booze and banter tomorrow. I mean, you got to start stretching for it. You know, if you're Bravo, you're going to go get some crazy workout in, make us feel bad about the fact that we're not getting one in. That's all right. You do you. Robin, nothing good begins with the government. Sadly not. Caveat, reminder, there are amazing people working for the government. But your point is well taken. The government is a bloated bureaucratic mess that not only does not really care about you, but can't. Even if they wanted to, they can't because they're a bloated bureaucratic mess that has now become politicized and is growing way too much. So it's a huge problem. And for the brave men and women who go out and work the streets as law enforcement officers or agents, the people who work the intel community and go overseas into harm's way and play in the shadows, people who work in the military, never talking about you. It's always the leadership. It's always the bureaucracy at the supreme senior levels of all of that that causes the problem. All right. Bring back real men. Amen to that. Yeah. Amen to that. We'll end there. It's super important that we do that. It really is. All right, guys. We appreciate you being here today. Please hit that like button, thumbs up, plus sign over on Rumble, whatever it is for you, wherever you're consuming the show on your way out. Join us tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, for Booze and Banter. Again, bring your drink, bring your questions. Tomorrow, it's Friday. It's about you. So we look forward to seeing you there. Be safe, be smart, be free.